Come on, CLCC, you have the power. You can do it. And not just because it's Mother's Day. Not just because your mother said so. Jesus said so. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to... Let's just pray real quick. I want to pray real quick. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're so good. You're so good. Lord, we just thank you right now that you did great things for us, and you've done great things for us, and you're continuing to do great things for us, and that you have some awesome plans in store for us. You have an awesome destiny for us, oh God. And Lord, we just thank you right now that you're going to make known those things to us, oh God. No matter what valley of indecision we're in, no matter what we're going through, no matter what situations may arise, Father, that you're going to bring us through, because you who started a good work in us is faithful to complete it. And Father, we thank you right now that you are completing a good work in us. And if we're not there yet, you're still working, and that's okay. We're going through the process. We're trusting you. We're going through the journey. And Father, we just thank you right now that you will never leave us nor forsake us on this journey, that you're going to bring us fullness and fullness of joy through this, oh God. And it's not just for our own selves, but it's for your kingdom, for your glory, and for the others and the thousands and millions of others that our lives will have an effect on. We thank you, Father, for that in your mighty precious name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
It's good stuff, good stuff. So I just want to welcome our Facebook friends. Hello, Facebook. Hello, online friends. We welcome you. Welcome to CLCC. We pray that you have a great time. You will, because God's got some good stuff in store for you. So stay tuned. We love that you're online, but we would love for you to be here too. It's better here. I'm just saying, if you can make it here, it's better. So amen. So be blessed. You're going to enjoy today. So amen. We like people here, don't we? Don't we like people here, CLCC? I like somebody I can hug. And if you're not about hugging, I'll handshake or you know, a fist pump or something like that. I can do that too. I'm all right with that. But I was raised to be a hugger, so don't worry. It's okay. You can blame my father for that. So how many awesome mothers do we have in the house today? Raise your hand if you're an awesome mother. Raise your hand. You can do it. It's okay. This is your time to shine. Amen. Let's give a hand clap to our mothers, our awesome mothers. Now, when I say mothers, I'm talking about spiritually and also naturally. So today my theme is to encourage our mothers. That's what the word of the Lord gave to me today. So I want to honor all of our mothers today, because you guys deserve it. You guys, you deserve it. I want to especially honor two mothers in particular. And one of them is my mom, who's here. She's wonderful. Give her a hand clap. Yeah, that's right. Give her a hand clap. My mother. I love her. Love you, Mama. And the other mother I want to honor is my wife's mother, because if she didn't do what she had to do, I wouldn't have somebody to marry. So I appreciate what she did. I appreciate Pastor Steve's input too, but that's a whole other story. So we're gonna leave that for Father's Day. But I appreciate Mama Gibb as well, Stacy Gibb. So thank you so much. I appreciate you too, especially.
Me too.
Me too. Amen, brother. Yes. My brother-in-law, we appreciate that. Oh, my goodness. So I just want to encourage, as today is Mother's Day, and, you know, it's one day a year, and, you know, we celebrate the wonderfulness, and here's my little one. Yes, celebrate me too. Mwah. Now back to your mother. Oh, there she goes. My quiver is full, let me tell you. Whew. So I just want to encourage our fathers, our husbands, our children, to make sure you do more than just appreciate them on Mother's Day. I mean, yes, Mother's Day set aside. I mean, it's great and everything, but we can do more than just appreciate them one day of the year, can't we? Can we encourage them? Can we give them a little love note? Can we say, Mom, you're doing a great job. Honey, you're doing a great job. I appreciate you. And that's what we're all about. We're all about doing that. So I want to encourage you husbands, encourage you fathers, encourage you children, encourage the church as a whole to exhort our mothers, to lift them up, to encourage them on a daily basis because they need it. Heck, I know I need it, so I know my wife needs it, who's dealing with four kids most of the time, and I'm going to work and things like that, but she needs it. So how much more do you think you need it? We all need it. So we all need to be encouraged. So I want to encourage you, do those things for your, do it for your mothers, all right? So I'm going to turn into Exodus 2. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Exodus 2, we're going to talk about two mothers today. And I was so happy when I got this message because I want to talk about, you know, we hear about all these different mothers. We know all the different mothers in the Bible and everything, you know, starting from Eve and then going to Jesus' mom, Mary, and all these different mothers. And I was like, I wanted something that wasn't as so as prominent as what's talked in the sermon and the text and things like that. So I wanted to do something a little bit different. I wanted to focus on someone that wasn't as, you know, highlighted. And the Lord led me to two mothers, and I was like, yes, I like these. And with talking about that today, I want to mention that here at CLCC, one of our mission statements is relationships that you are important, valued, and loved. And that's what I'm talking about today, that you are important, valued, and loved. And I want to encourage our mothers today through this sermon that the Lord Jesus gave me to encourage you guys today and to make you feel important, valued, and loved here. So, Exodus 2 and 1. So what's going on here is Pharaoh is not happy with the Hebrews because the Hebrews are getting so populated in Egypt, and this is after Joseph has passed, that he's like, we've got to do something about that. So he starts killing baby boys. He's like, you know what? If it's a baby boy, let's kill him. Baby girls are fine, but baby boys we're killing. So it says in Exodus 2, now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Now, that's all I want to talk about in this. The rest of the story is good. It talks about Moses. This is Moses' mother. Moses' mother. I find it interesting that Moses doesn't have a father's name and doesn't have a mother's name in the text. It just says a Levite, which Levites were consecrated unto the Lord. I find that very interesting that even though this woman was no named, she still affected millions upon billions of people. Come on. And one thing that God wanted to highlight about this woman was stand, and when you stand, stand firm. Because Pharaoh was saying, kill all the babies, kill all the boys. That was his decree. It wasn't like, this is an option, you can do it if you feel like it. No, this was a decree where you could be put to death over if you didn't follow Pharaoh's rule, because it's an absolute rule at the time. So she had the courage to go against that. We need courage like that sometimes, folks. I mean, the Lord puts people in office above us and things like that. That's fine, you know. But when there's something in direct correlation that is going against his word, that goes against his principles, that's when we as the body of church, body of Christ, need to stand up and say, nope, I'm not doing that. That's not right. The world, the culture will always tell you what to do. It's amazing how culture in the world always has a voice. Always has a voice somewhere. They're like, oh, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need this, you need to do this, and this, and this, and this. And you're like, I can't do this, and this, and this. You know? It's like, or you should do this. I'm like, well, that doesn't work either. And it's all without Jesus. All without God. And that's why it doesn't work. But when we stand in his presence, when we stand in his righteousness, when we stand in his word, and what he's told us to do, that empowers us. Doesn't it? Here's a quote for you. You ready? I love quotes. Here's a good one. Your freedom will come from your standing. Come on, somebody. Your freedom will come from your standing. Because she stood her ground, Moses' mother, the freedom of the Hebrew nation came from that. Now, it didn't come immediately. God had to do some working there, but it still came where it wouldn't have come if that had not been the case. God can use that little boy to free a nation. What do you think he can do with your kids? Wow, come on. And I'm saying, if you have natural kids, that's great. If you have spiritual kids, that's great. I'm talking about both. Think about it. This one boy didn't even name his mother and father. Had no idea who they were. But end up changing the Hebrew nation. End up changing the world. And your children can do the same. You know that? Your children can be people that will go into the world and set people free from sin, from bondage, from brokenness, from curses. Your children have the ability to do the same through Jesus. And you can equip them to do that. I love this. Recently, I was asked to go to a men's breakfast. And if you know my history about men's breakfasts, they're not very good. And it's not because they're not good. It's just because that I was, as a PK, a preacher's kid, I was dragged to every Promise Keepers breakfast that I could, that my dad could go to. And I don't like breakfast. I never really ate breakfast. And heck, I didn't like to get up early at 6 or 5 or even 7 o'clock in the morning when it wasn't Cartoon Saturday. I mean, let's just face it. That's how I was when I was younger. So I did not appreciate all the teaching and the wonderfulness that went on with men's breakfast, because normally I was one of the only younger ones there and I was bored out of my mind because I was not engaged. And that, you know, that's what it was. Let's be real. Then I had Pastor Kurt say, hey, man, would you like to preach at a men's breakfast? And I was like, nope. That was my first thought. I was like, nope, I don't want to do it. Nope, I don't want to do it. And then the Lord said, but of course I didn't say that. I said, let me pray about it, brother. I had to be a little, you know, had to cover my ground there a little bit. Let me pray about it, brother. Let me see what the Lord says. And when I prayed about it, he said, yes, you should do it. I'm like, come on, God. And then some other things came up, and then I was like, oh, I can get out of it. But then those other things got taken care of. I'm like, man, I'm still at it again. So, and now it's time to, you can't turn back now. It's on. So it's like, man, I got to do this. But the interesting thing was, because I was obedient, my son said, hey, Dad, can I come with you? And I was like, really? You really want to come to this? Like, I didn't sugarcoat it or anything. I was like, well, I mean, you really want to. Probably won't be kids there your age. It's a men's breakfast. But he's like, Dad, I want to come. So when he went there, and he had a good time. He enjoyed talking to some of the guys. He was the youngest one there, which that was okay. But he talked to some of the guys, and, you know, he ate 3 pancakes, which I was very proud of him for that. I was like, that's my boy. Yeah, that's right. Some bacon. I was like, yeah, that's him. So very proud of him, very proud. So, but it was because he was entering in to something that God had called him. And the thing is that if I wasn't obedient, if I didn't stand firm in being obedient to what Christ had for me at that place, he would have never had an encounter with Jesus. I could have robbed him of that encounter with the Lord. As a father, as a spiritual figure, I could have robbed him from that. I'm saying, parents, I'm saying, mothers, I'm saying, church, don't rob people of what God wants for them. Don't rob them. Let them go for it. Let them have it all. Because you never know what might come of that. You never know what might come of that. So when you stand, stand firm. Amen. So what I want to do is I want to pray for the mothers real quick. We're going to do this twice. I want to pray for the mothers, but I want to pray a blessing over the mothers for courage, for strength, and to be able to stand firm in whatever situation, whatever days are ahead. And what I'd like for you mothers to do is to lift your hands like this. like you're going to receive our gift. Because when the Holy Spirit wants to give us something, we have to be able to receive it. We're like, okay, Lord, here it is. Here's my hands. I'm receiving it. You can't receive a gift if your hands are in your pockets. You can't do it. You have to actually have, you have to accept it. So what I would like for you mothers to do is to keep your hands like this. And I would love for husbands, fathers, or even sons to hold their hands up to support them. Because what that does is says, yes, I support my wife, I support my grandmother, I support my mother, I support whomever it may be. I support them in what God has for them, the destiny that they're going to walk in, the standing firm that God has for them. So can we do that for them? All right? So we're going to pray right now. Father, I thank you right now for your blessing, for your encouragement, for your strength, for these mothers, Father, to be able to stand firm, Father. Whether they have natural kids or whether they have spiritual kids, Father, I thank you right now that you are empowering them and that you are imparting to them wisdom, courage, and strength to be able to do what you have for them, that you give them wisdom on what to do with these kids, with these children, Father, with these adults, Father. Lord, that you give them wisdom, that you give them discernment, that you give them grace, that you give them strength and courage, Father. I thank you right now for them. May you continue to do that in their hearts and in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on. Come on. Isn't it powerful when we get together in unity, when we agree with each other? Isn't it powerful? Come on, somebody. It's good stuff. And this is what the church is all about. It's all about that. So now I'm going to turn to Matthew 20. I talked about Moses' mother. I'm going to talk about someone else's mother. So we're going to Matthew 20 and verse 20. We're going to talk about James and John's mother, which is another mother that doesn't have a name. She's called the mother of the sons of Zebedee. So Matthew 20, 20. You have 20/20 vision today? Do you? Do you? Maybe. You're like, well, I don't know. But this gives us some clear vision on what's going to happen here. So Matthew 20, 20. So James and John's mother comes up to Jesus, and this is what she's doing. So then the mother of Zebedee's sons comes to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down, and asks a favor of him. What is it you want? Jesus asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom. Now, that is a bold mother. Let me tell you something right there. I mean, Moses' mom was bold too, but to come up to ask the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, do you mind, you know, I can just see some mothers doing that. I can just see Grandma Gibb coming up and say, do you mind, Jesus, if, you know, Steve and Doug was sitting here, you know, sitting in the right and left hand. I mean, I can see people doing that. I mean, that's a huge thing. And then it talks about later about what he talks about, being the greatest in his kingdom as being a servant of all. But could you imagine that as one of the sons? Mom, don't. You just stirred up a horn. And then all the disciples were mad at them for this. I mean, can you imagine that? Like, Mom, you're just embarrassed. You're just embarrassed me, Mom. Like, in your heads, kick the dirt. And you're like, oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I don't know about this. So, you know, I mean, that was, she wanted what was best for her children. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we shouldn't be like that. We want what's best for our kids. And mothers want that. Because kids are not supposed to live their lives through us. They're not to be discouraged by their uniqueness because they're different. Our kids are unique. I got four of them. Each of them are very different. None of them are the same. I wish they were sometimes because then I'm like, I know how to deal with that, but I don't know how to deal with that. That's a whole other story right there. I don't know what to do about that one. Jesus, give me wisdom. So, you know, I mean, there's everyone has their uniqueness, but all of them have their different callings. All of them have their different ways of doing things. And it's our job to make sure that we give them the best. I was fishing with my son the other day, and we were out there fishing, and I had a certain lure on. He had a certain lure on his rod. We were throwing out. I started catching bass. I'm like, oh, yeah, I started catching them. Started catching one or two, three, and so I started catching them. And then I see my son over there, he ain't catching anything. He's like, he ain't catching anything. Now, right then I had the choice of I can still catch fish and I can enjoy myself. Or I can let my son have the rod and watch him catch something. So what did I do? I actually gave my rod to him. I was like, here you go, son. Catch some fish. And when you know it, he caught the biggest one of the bunch. He caught the biggest bass of the bunch. And I mean, it was great because as a father, I'm like, yes, way to go, son. Yeah, way to go. Are we insecure that we can't see greatness for our kids? Because we want what's best for us. We have to get past that as parents, spiritual and natural, that we want to let our kids thrive, let our kids grow. Want the best for them. Jesus said, even Jesus said, greater works she will do than I will. And that's Jesus. He wants us, as we should want our kids, to go further, to get the best. To get the best. Because God does great things through us and to us, but God can do great things also through our kids and through those we've mentored. And sometimes we need to give them more love and encouragement. It can be tough. I mean, if you've had kids in the school year the last 2 or 3 years, it's been a ride. It's been a ride. If you've been a teacher, you know. It's been a ride for these kids. So much going on. I know in our lives, with jobs and different things going on, with culture and society, there's been a lot of different changes. But these kids have had the same thing as well. We need to encourage them more. We need to build them up more. And it can be tough. Some days you're just like, I'm drained. I'm done. And that's when we go to the presence of Him. So when we go to the Almost High, we just renew ourselves in His presence so that we can mount up with wings as eagles, so we can run and not grow weary, so we can walk and not faint. Amen? That's what we can do. And I'm going to give you a nugget of truth that might blow your mind. Are you ready? This is a nugget of truth that's going to blow your mind. Did you know? I'm just telling you, this is going to blow your mind. You're like, wow, man, I've never thought of it like that. That is amazing. Are you ready for this? Okay, here we go. I'm just warning you. Warning you. It's gonna blow your mind.
Go for it.
Okay. All right.
Let's go.
The anticipation is too much. Frank's like, go on. Let's go. We want to hear it. Did you know that besides two people, every great man and woman of God came from a mother? Isn't that amazing? You're like, wow, yeah, man, I kind of think. But think about it, though. Every great man or woman of God came from a mother. Everyone, except for two, and that was Adam and Eve. Everyone came from them. Without mothers, no one would be here. That's just how it is. Without, that's true. So shouldn't we give them the honor, the respect that they deserve? Shouldn't we? Should we encourage them,
absolutely,
exhort them, and give them everything we can? Because when their love tank is filled, it's easier for them to outpour what they have. If their love tank is overflowing from us giving them more, from God giving them more. Now we can't give them everything, but God can do that. Can top them off and fill them up. Isn't it so much easier for mothers to be able to overflow in the fullness of love when they've been encouraged? One of the things, I went to my sister's graduation Friday night, and she graduated. Yay. Way to go, sis. From Global School of Urban Ministry. Mike was there. He was there too. He graduated. Yay. Woo-hoo. Graduation. Yay. They were there. And what they did at the conference was what's called a fire tunnel. Now, some of you might not know what that is. Some of you might. So what it is it's when you have two sides and you make a tunnel and you make kind of like, you know, you stand side by side facing each other and you have people come through this tunnel and you pray for them, which is pretty fun. I'm just going to say it's pretty fun. Maybe, Pastor Steve, we should do that sometime. Just saying. Maybe. That's a little crazy. I don't know. You know? They might get some prophetic words. They might get some fire. I mean, they might really never know what might happen, what Jesus might do. But maybe we should try it sometime. Just saying. So me and my family were going through that. And my wife was very adamant about going through it. And I was like, okay, yeah, we can go through it. But she was like, let's go through it. I was like, okay, so let's do it then. So she was very adamant. And you know what happened? I mean, I got a few good words. I think my wife got a few good words. but my daughter got something that changed her life. Come on, come on, come on. She, and this is her words to us, she was like, I was getting so hot while I was in the fire tunnel. And she was like, I had a sweater on, but then I took it off, and then it just kept getting hotter and hotter. And it just kept on getting more and more, like on fire almost. And then she heard the Lord speak to her saying, it was him that was doing the fire. He spoke to her, and he said, I'm giving you fire, but also giving you hope. Come on, somebody. She had an encounter with God. And there is nothing, nothing greater than that. But if my wife hadn't pushed so hard for that, if my wife hadn't said, let's definitely do it, let's go and let's put the kids through as well, then that opportunity would have been missed. Come on. That's what we can do as parents. That's what our mothers can do. I want to encourage you, mothers. Even though it might look like something that's not, it's kind of like out of the ordinary, something that's, well, maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't, go for it. If they're about to have an encounter with God that can change their life, go for it. So I'm going to pray one more time for our mothers again. We're going to do the same exact thing. And I want to pray that we'd recognize when those opportunities come, that we'd recognize when God is about to do something, that you would get that courage, that you would get that, it would stand up, that you would go for it, that you'd continue to want the best for your children. So I want you mothers just to outstretch your arms like this, and you're going to receive something again. And husbands, fathers, church, do the same thing that you were doing. Support them.
Physical and spiritual.
Physical and spiritual, yes. Definitely physical and spiritual. And we're going to see what God does. Thank you, Father, right now for our mothers, physical and spiritual. We thank you, Lord, right now that you are giving to them wisdom and discernment. We thank you right now that you're giving them a heart that wants the best for them, even more than what it's already there. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you're going to do some great things in our mothers, that you're going to fill all their love tanks up, and that they're going to be able to overflow from that, imparting to their children and seeing the encounter that you have for the kids. We thank you right now that you are doing a wonderful filling up, Lord, that you're topping off their tanks right now, that you're filling them full of wisdom, discernment, that you're filling them full of grace, that you're filling them full of your gentleness. We thank you, Father, right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. I want to do one other thing for today. Now, this is great because I get to ask my mother. I asked her to come up and share a little bit. And the reason I want to do that is because it is Mother's Day, and I always like to hear a woman's perspective. And she's my mother, which she's wonderful. She had to put up with me and my sister, so bless her. Bless her very much. And I wasn't always the easiest kid to put up with. So, Mom, if you want to come up.
Well, this is a privilege to have my son encourage me to get up in front of people. I'm usually in the background, you know, encouraging my kids to, you know, go after their dreams. But anyway, as I was collecting my thoughts and trying to prepare for what maybe I would want to share with y'all, I came across a scripture or a quote that said, if our children are his children, then our children belong to God first. Before they were ours, they were his. When your first child comes into the world, you're so excited, you and your husband. He's the firstborn. He will carry on the family name. He looks like his dad, and everything is full of excitement and newness. And then your mother, hopefully she's there to help you with those first days of the adjustment of a new baby and all the things that go with that. And then not too long after that, another child comes into the world. And you're blessed with a daughter this time. And people say, oh, you're blessed, you have one of each. That's a perfect family. A father needs a son, a mother needs a daughter. Or maybe that's reversed. But anyway, you are blessed. And the years go by. Toddler years go by with feedings and diapers and nursery rhymes and doctor's appointments and anything and everything that goes on with a young family, young kids. And you're so glad that you had your children close and that they can play together and grow up together. The Bible says children are a heritage and a gift from God. The fruit of the womb, a reward. And that is true. I think most people can attest to that. But you know, sometimes we know that, but we don't always remember that your children are on loan from God. We dedicate them to the Lord, we give them to Him, but sometimes we don't always remember that they're not ours, but they're His, really, in the whole scope of things. And the lives of your children seem to fly by. There was one time when your 14-month-old son had to go to the ER for the doctor to gingerly remove a kernel of corn that was found its way up in his nose. He isn't bothered by this. He's happily greeting every person in the waiting room, and while you're sitting there, it's going to be terrible, but he makes it through. Then there's another time when your 6-year-old son tells his dad, "God called me to preach the gospel." And his dad, half believing what he's hearing, says, "Of course, son, of course." And then suddenly his dad hears the voice of the Lord saying, "I did tell your son that." He stands corrected. Both parents stand corrected. The school age years pass by quickly, too. There are dance lessons for your daughter and gymnastics. She's so talented. You think she's going to be another, who's the famous? Mary Lou Retton. she's going to be another Mary Lou Retton. And then your son, who is playing baseball, Little League Baseball, one day you happen to hear the other team talking to each other saying, "Whatever you do, don't hit it to the kid in left field. He's going to get the ball." And of course, you jokingly laugh at that with pride. Your children are typical kids. They're playing with the neighborhood children. They're teasing and arguing with each other. One time, the son accidentally hits his sister while practicing his golf swing. His dad was none too happy about that. The children go to middle school, and they are active in and out of school. Your husband is coaching his daughter's basketball team and loving every minute of it. However, when your son is in the 8th grade, your daughter is in 7th grade, the unthinkable happens. Not only was a brain tumor found, but during surgery to remove it, there was an accident that left your husband with a traumatic brain injury, which essentially is a stroke. Your husband would never be the same again. He would never have full vision or speak more than a phrase or two. He would always live in a wheelchair with the use of only one arm. You and your children were devastated, but you cried out to the Lord and held on to the hope of a miraculous recovery. You felt God opening a door to go to New Orleans, Louisiana, where your husband could get the help and therapy he needed. Of course, that meant you had to go with him. You and your children moved to New Orleans too, while your husband was living in a rehab, residential rehab, with other sufferers of brain injuries. You and your children lived 15 minutes away in an apartment. you're in New Orleans, in that year in New Orleans, your husband made the best of the situation and did make some improvements. He was not as involved with the children's lives, understandably, because he was concentrating on his own therapies and his own newness of life, having to deal with the handicaps. But God showed himself faithful, as the great father he is, and he provided a wonderful church with many new friends and help for encouragement. The youth group leader saw the call of God on your son's life. He and his sister made friends in the church and school. And your son and daughter continued to play sports and do youth group activities. Church and the presence of God became our lifeline. After a year in New Orleans, it was time to come home. The Lord had opened the door to go down there, but just as he opened it, he was closing it. And coming home wasn't the same. People were hired to take care of your husband, along with new people. There were new things in the house, a shower chair, a wheelchair, even a handicap van so he could go places. You were blessed with a husband who was basically a very positive person, a person with a strong faith. He was not one to sit around and feel sorry for himself, and he made the best that life with the rest of the life he had. He was happy being at home with his children and his wife. He even went hunting with some old buddies who helped him to get out on a deer stand, and he actually killed a deer one time. God had given him joy in the midst of suffering, and that was the new normal. Your children continued in sports and activities, particularly with your son. It was tennis, golf, and even drama. Your daughter loved drama and voice. But it did break your heart to see that when at times your son was needed to help his dad, the boy whose father took him fishing just a few short years before was now helping him taking him to the bathroom. Your daughter needed a father during those tumultuous teen years, and he was there as much as he could be. Your children are growing up before your very eyes, proms, working summer jobs, performing in high school musicals, and driving the family car, which unfortunately your son wrecked and totaled one time. It was so bad, it made your daughter not want to drive for several years after that. All too soon they graduated, and your son was heading off for Bible school in upstate New York. There he would meet a beautiful girl who would become his wife. Later, after that, 2 years after Elam, they would continue their education in Valley Forge. Your daughter stayed home to attend community college so she could spend more time with her father. There was one time when he was going to a horse riding therapy, and the instructor wanted your daughter to ride along with him, and simultaneously they both start singing a cowboy song. Those two were like two peas in a pod, so much alike, with the same positive, happy personality. Then she entered Liberty University, where her dad was her biggest fan. Every time she performed in a play, he was there smiling, nodding approval, and just very proud of his daughter. Both children got married. They married their spouses, however, it was a few years apart. But unfortunately, their father would miss both weddings. At his son's wedding, he was too sick to make it. At his daughter's wedding, he had passed away the year before. In 2010, you hated to say goodbye to your partner, But he knew, you knew, that he wanted to go home to be with the Lord. He had finished his race. He was happy to run into the arms of Jesus. You, however, were heartsick. You thought God would do a miraculous healing. But when it didn't happen, you had to relinquish your hopes and say goodbye. Then in 2012, God knew you needed the joy of a very special boy, your first grandson, named after the prophet Samuel. In the following years, three more grandchildren came along, all girls. Now it is a pleasure to see my son and his wife raising their children. I'm proud to see him fulfilling his call in business and in ministry. It is also rewarding to see my daughter and her husband pursue their calls as well. As a mother, you love your children, and you always want to be a part of their lives. But when God calls them away to their own paths and their own callings, he gives you grace to let go. At times, I must admit, I've not always been happy with it, but he was there to help me and comfort me. Our life and times are in his hands. Through the stages of motherhood, from giving birth to letting go, God is with us, giving us wisdom and his perspective. We are richly blessed with our children and grandchildren who will continue the legacy of living for and serving the God who gave them to us on loan.
Well, thanks, Mama. I appreciate it, yeah. So what we want to do just right now is we just want to pray for, we just want to open up the altar, and we're just going to put on a worship song. And I want to like Marty to come up as well. And my mother, myself, and Marty will be up here to pray for anyone who needs some extra encouragement. And I know we talked about a few things today. And what I just want to make sure that we're doing is we're supporting our mothers. We're supporting our congregation. And maybe today you've had a rough situation, or maybe some things have been heavy on your heart, or maybe you just need a hug from your mom, a hug from a mom. And my mom is willing to do that. She's willing to give you a hug from a mother. If maybe your mother's not here with us anymore, or maybe some things have happened to your mother, she wants to do that. We want to pray for you today. And if your heart is just overwhelmed and you're like, you know what, I felt the Lord tugging at me this whole time to do something, to have some extra prayer, to have that he wants to do something more in me, then now is the time to come up. Whether you're a mother or whether you're a son or a father, doesn't matter. We just want to make sure that God wants to touch your life today. And we want to give you that opportunity today. So we're just going to take a few minutes while we're listening to the song and just give you an opportunity to be able to come up here and receive some extra prayer. No pressure. But if you feel like this is my time to do this, this is what I need mostly, then I would invite you to come. Okay? Because love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul. I am yours. I am forever yours.
When my heart is filled with hope, every promise comes my way, and I feel your hands of grace rest upon me. Staying desperate for you, God, staying humbled at your feet, I will lift these hands in praise, and I will believe. And I'll remind myself of all that you've done, and the life I have because of your Son. 'Cause
if you'd like prayer, we'll just continue to have the altar open. But I want to pray and release the rest of you that need to go today. Father, we thank you for meeting with us today. When we gather on Sundays, it's out of relationship with you. We come desiring to encounter you, to meet you face to face, to hear from you, to see you, to draw close to you. And we thank you that you met us today, that as we sought you, you sought us. As we drew close to you, you drew close to us. And thank you for blessing the mothers today. And so, Father, we just release them in your care and ask that you give them extra joy today, that they would just leave encouraged. And we go out reminded that we go out representing, that we go out representing the Father's love to each person that we encounter this week. In Jesus' name, amen.